This is Sid Roth saying, I have a vision. Now is the set time to blow the trumpet in Zion.
Blow a trumpet in Zion, sound it on the mountain. Blow a trumpet in Zion, for the day of the Lord is come.
Shalom, Mishpucha. Shalom, family. Mishpucha is a Hebrew word, and it means family. We're the Mishpucha, the family with a Jewish heart, made up of Jewish and non-Jewish people that are one new man in Messiah Yeshua, Messiah Jesus. Getting ready, Mishpucha, to blow the grandest shofar, oh, the grandest trumpet in Zion. We want everyone, everywhere, to hear the good news. We want everyone, everywhere, to be red hot for the Messiah. I mean, if you're not red hot now, I mean, what are you waiting for? This is the time. This is, you say, I'll be red hot in heaven? Well, let me tell you, of course you'll be red hot in heaven, but we need you red hot right now. And if you're just a lukewarm Christian, you ought to see what Jesus says about you in the book of Revelation. He'll vomit you out of his mouth. The only option is red hot. Some people say, oh, that person's a fanatic. No, that person is normal. Everyone else is abnormal. But I want to conform to other people. I don't want to stand out. Well, you don't want to stand out. You stand out for the devil if you don't stand out. You know what I'm saying? The only way you can stand up for God is to stand out. Well, I have a man that stands out. His name is Chuck Pierce, and I'm interviewing him on a book that I've told him I want to change the title. I want to call it Worship Wars, because we really are at war right now. But the title is Worship Warrior. I'm speaking to Chuck Pierce at his office in Denton, Texas. And Chuck, there is a concept that I have not really focused in before. And your book really focuses in this area, and it has to do with ascending. Explain that.
Well, it's so great to be with you again, Sid, and it was great meeting you in Israel in the midst of a war season in God's covenant land. I mean, actually, it will intensify in days ahead, but when we're grafted in to God's covenant plan and we're grafted in to Abraham's blessing, all of a sudden, what we find ourselves in the same war in the earth realm that God is joining in to bring forth his covenant blessings today with. And so one of the things I made a statement after 9/11. I said, this is a season that we're in. It's a war season. It's a time for war. We find that in Ecclesiastes. And I said, the only way we're going to win this war is to ascend in worship and descend in war. Now, the Lord actually spoke this to me, Sid. He said, ascend into my throne room as you worship, and then descend back to the harvest field and war for its release. I'm ready for the harvest to come into my kingdom. And so it makes you wonder, how does ascending in worship and descending in war work? Well, ascend means, think of Jacob's ladder. You mentioned that yesterday. Think of Jacob's ladder. Jacob had an open, he saw the heavens open. There were angels ascending and descending. It established God's presence in the earth realm in a peculiar way. Well, to ascend means to arise. Now, if you're listening out there, I love Isaiah 60. It says, arise, shine, for your light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Arise from the oppression and depression that has held you down. So when we start worshiping, our spirit starts coming into its position in heaven. The word ascend also means to climb. It means to come up. It means to, and I love this, it means to grow, it means to increase, it means to leap. I mean, the Lord can bring such joy into our life when we start worshiping that our spirit leaps. John the Baptist leapt in Elizabeth's womb, and when he recognized Mary in the midst of Elizabeth carrying the Messiah. The same thing happens with us. And also the word ascend means to recover and restore. And so really, the issue about ascending is, as we come to this place where we're worshiping God, and we're really communing with him, our faith level rises, and we start, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. The word comes alive to us, and all of a sudden our spirit begins to leap, and we know God's plan for our lives.
You talk in your book about the second heaven and the third heaven. Is there a problem that most people never break through that second heaven, which is Satan's realm, to get into the throne room?
Well, I think most of us live down here in the first heaven, actually.
So first heaven is like Earth?
It's like the atmosphere above Earth. See, Satan, we find in Ephesians, is the prince of the power of the air. So what Satan will do is he will invade the structures of society to conform our mind to the way society thinks. That's what's wrong. That's what Romans 12, 1 and 2 is about. But when we begin to worship God, we break out of that conforming power of the earth around us. We break out of the conforming power of the way the world thinks. Because all of a sudden, our spirit starts rising into that position God's given us in the heavenlies, seated next to the Father. Our feet begin to, instead of being bogged down in the earth realm, your feet gets planted on the enemy's head. You quit thinking the same way the enemy's thinking, and you move forward. Now, what happens is it's just easy to see first, second, third heaven. You go through an atmosphere where Satan is controlling a structure. That's the best way to look at it. You break out of the thinking process of that atmosphere, and then you ascend into the throne room, and while you're there, the Father, through the Lord Jesus Christ, starts communicating to us. You've been given access to come boldly into a throne room, and you can know the mind of Christ.
Why is it, Chuck, that so many of us seem to have distractions from taking that time to worship?
And one of the things, I don't know if you remember, but in this book I write about the distractions. I call them worship distractors. There's so many things in this realm that we live that distract us from God. We quit thinking like Him. We don't meditate on Him. I was telling you, a key to my life is meditation, where I'm really thinking on what God is.
Give me one specific example of how you might meditate.
Well, what I will do in the morning, I will get up and I'll set my mind on Christ. I tell the Lord how much I love Him. Hallowed be His name. I tell Him, I exalt Him for who He is, but then what I'm going to do, I'm going to start communicating with Him through His Word. He's written us a book, if we'll just get that and start talking to Him. During that time, there's certain things He's having me pray for. There's other things He wants to communicate to me His heart over to pray for. While I'm doing that, then I will see a scripture will illuminate to me. Or even just in singing to Him, I talk about the air in this book and the sound of worship. And by singing to Him and worshiping Him and talking to Him, all of a sudden I'm in communion with Him. He impresses things on me, and I know what to do. And I start pondering those things, and then before the end of the day is out, I have wisdom, because I want to say something to us. We forget this verse, Sid. He tells us if we ask for wisdom, we'll get wisdom. He won't withhold it from us.
So why is it so many people say, okay, I'm not double-minded, I want wisdom, and they don't get it?
Well, because we're absorbed in our own way of thinking. We're really a very independent people, and we're not dependent upon God.
That's actually idolatry, isn't it?
Well, it is. It's a form of idolatry. I'd have to say one of the life-changing scriptures of my life also is in James chapter 4, where it says, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and then he'll flee. See, so it takes, those are both active words. Submit means to stand underneath. Now, see, most of us don't equate submission to standing. But the word actually in the Greek means to stand underneath. And then when it says to resist or withstand, it means to stand against. And what happens to us, most of us never stand underneath God, under the shadow of his wing. Therefore, we can't ever resist our enemy. And it takes both dynamics. And then the word of God says, the enemy will flee. In other words, the things will get cleared out. You'll draw near to God. He'll draw near to you. You'll be one and you'll know how to move forward.
What are we going to do on tomorrow's broadcast? Will you pray for our people?
I would love to just spend time praying, communicating a few truths to them, things that might be hindering them in touching God, and then praying for them. And then let's just let the Holy Spirit move, and he perhaps will tell us some things specifically we need to pray about. If I've got just a moment, we were just in a meeting in Texas last week, and many of you know we have been in this war in Iraq, and the worship was so dynamic. And in the dynamic aspect of worship, all of a sudden, I felt like I was in heaven. And Pastor Dutch Sheets was up there. Many of you know him through his book, Intercessory Prayer, was up there speaking. And all of a sudden, I knew why we were in San Antonio. And the Spirit of God said, the war in Iraq will turn within a week. Well, all I could do, which I had the liberty to do, was to get up and communicate what God was saying. And then he said, tell them the strong man will be found.
And that was, of course, a month ago. And we're talking about that guy that was in the bottom of a hole, Saddam Hussein.
And he was an enemy to God's covenant plan in the earth realm. I'm going to tell you something, if you're listening. If you'll worship, God can find your enemies. Many times we get snared by our enemies. We can't find our enemies. We don't really understand what the enemy was doing. Pull aside and submit yourself to God. Resist the devil, and he will give you revelation over where your enemy is. He'll intervene in the earth realm on your behalf.
And we don't have time to go into it, but your wife had a tremendous healing, which you, she was able to have a child. Actually, oil went through her veins?
She felt like hot oil was being poured through her veins. Of course, we were in a denominational church, and from the time God set me free, when I was 18, especially after I was 24, which I'd shared earlier on this program, I became just an avid seeker of God and an avid worshiper. And Pam was more resistant. And when she started worshiping, the Spirit of God spoke this to me. He said, the new song will break the old cycle. And she had never had a normal cycle in our time of marriage, which had been over 10 years, a normal monthly cycle. And when she shifted into a new form of worship, God healed her right there. And this is a recorded healing. John Wimber was ministering. This was in January 19th.
She had endometriosis.
She had endometriosis. The Lord intervened, not...
We're out of time. Mishpocha, tomorrow is going to be hot. I want you to get his book, Worship Warrior, a donation of $20 or more. If you would like to receive a complimentary copy of our bi-monthly teaching newsletter, materials catalog, or information about becoming Mishpucha or Chalitzi, write to me, Sid Roth, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521, or call our order-only line, 1-800-548-1918. To place a credit card order, call anytime, 1-800-548-1918. For all other calls, the number is 912-265-2500. That's 912-265-2500. For a cassette tape of this week's broadcast, send a donation of $10 or more to Sid Roth, that's S-I-D-R-O-T-H, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521. To see our television show, It's Supernatural, and to listen to past radio programs, Look us up on the web at www.sidroth.org. That's www.sidroth.org.